Are we recording?
You're listening to
Source News
on 4EB Community Radio, presented by Griffith University students.
Hello, my name is Felicity.
And my name is Tyra.
And you're listening to The Source News.
We're coming at you from our Gold Coast studio on Eugen Bay land.
We've got a jam-packed show for you today, covering a variety of topics and local stories.
We'll be looking at the mental health crisis on the Gold Coast, Griffith University's MAPE project, the STEAM program at Mary Mac State High School, and the Crafted Beer and Cider Festival.
Sounds like we've got an exciting show today, kicking it off with an investigation into the Gold Coast mental health dilemma.
The mental health crisis on the Gold Coast has resulted in prolonged wait times for those desperately seeking support. Mental health support workers are overworked and overbooked months in advance. Kiana Gilmore has the story.
The Gold Coast has seen a recent rise in those seeking mental health support services. Many psychologists and mental health support workers acknowledge the current desperation for support as a mental health crisis. Within the past 2 years, peak wait times for psychologists and psychiatrists on the Gold Coast reach an astounding 6 to 9 months. Support worker Callum Matthews expresses how the high demand for support services is affecting those in need.
Yeah, no, it's ridiculous. It really does make me feel bad for the people that can't afford to wait.
Counsellor and practice manager at Clarity Consultants in Bundle, Madison Hickey, says the mental health crisis has seen consistently high rates of patients for over 2 years.
And our practice has only been open for 2 years. So We kind of started in the peak of the mental health crisis, as you might say. So I guess we haven't noticed as much of a spike, but we have noticed that plenty of people have come through. We've received hundreds of referrals in that time. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Current wait times for new clients at Clarity have stabilised at around 2 months. However, Hickey says that some of their practitioners do have to close their books once they become overwhelmed with clients.
Our psychologists tend to know their boundaries quite well, and they will close their books if they know they've got too many clients for them to be able to work effectively with. But yeah, it is hard to turn people away again because we feel terrible knowing that we're unable to help people who really need it.
While some practitioners, such as those at Clarity, have the ability to close their books and take a step away from work for their own mental health if they need to, it can still be difficult for support workers to separate their personal and professional lives.
It's really hard because you see people and, like, while you're working, you try to do everything that you can to help and support them. And then you see, like, the environment they lived in and what events, like, led them to the situation they're in now and the daily struggles they have. And it's, like, you try to not take it home, but it's impossible because you kind of reflect on your own life and, like, if things were different, you'd be in that situation.
The Queensland government has also recognised how the lack of resources and time for the rise in mental health clients has affected the public and support workers. As a response to this, last year a $7 million mental health crisis stabilisation service was implemented at Robina Hospital, an investment to ease pressure from emergency rooms and already overworked support workers. Proactive approaches like this are aiding psychology officers and easing the current strain on the system. Hickey advises those seeking support to not be intimidated by wait times.
People facing a mental health crisis, that they shouldn't be put off by not being able to find a psychologist, because there's always someone out there with a shorter wait time, and there's counsellors who can often see people sooner. I know people can't foresee mental health crises, but if they are struggling, not to put off seeing a psychologist until they're super desperate, but to call and make an appointment, try and be a bit proactive, because, yeah, once you do the wait, it is worth it and you can get in.
It is vital for local and government support services to continue to provide services to those who seek them. Despite the current crisis, mental health professionals are hopeful for the future of support services and advocate for higher turnaround times for patients. If you're currently seeking support, reach out to your GP or local psychologist office. In instance of emergency, always contact 000.
That was Kiana Gilmore with the story.
Yeah, mental health is something a lot of us struggle with, and it's hard to hear that people are reaching out and can't get the immediate support they need.
But it really is encouraging to see Robina Hospital putting programs in place to provide much-needed aid for the people working in this field.
The key message is to continue to seek help because it is out there.
Yeah, and there's even programs out there that teach everyday people like you and me how to actively and effectively help others.
Griffith University is running the MAPE project to educate people on how to prevent domestic violence across multiple settings. The program aims to teach bystanders how to identify violence and problematic behaviour during the early signs of potential abuse. Domestic violence continues to be an issue which will affect 1 in 3 women during their lifetime. Nathan Tyrrell has the story.
The MAPE program, Motivating Action Through Empowerment, is a personal leadership program focused on the role of the bystander in the prevention of gendered violence. Program Director Sian Ross-Smith says the issue of violence against women has reached crisis levels in Australia.
People that you love right now are experiencing domestic violence because the numbers are so significant. So we know that 1 in 3 women will have experienced violence in her lifetime, domestic violence in her lifetime. We also know that over 1 woman a week dies at the hands of her partner or former partner from domestic violence homicide. Violence against women is more of a threat to women than any health condition that they may endure.
Ross Smith has worked extensively with domestic violence perpetrators through various roles with Queensland Corrective Services. Whenever she would ask if their mates had ever challenged their talk or attitudes towards women, they would always say no.
I can go into every room and have conversations about mate and have conversations about being a good human, but it takes men saying to other men, that's not how I think about women. Actually, I value the women in my life. Actually, the women in my life are treated as equals. That's where we will shift the status quo. So the role of MAPE, or the work that we do at Griffith, is the education piece about what lies beneath violence and what perpetuates it. But I suppose the most important thing for me is empowering people to recognise the role that they play in shifting the narrative, in shifting status quo.
Gold Coast pastor Lee Elsmore participated in the MAPE program in 2020 and was impressed by its capacity for informing people about the nature of domestic violence and empowering them to make a difference in their community.
It was done really well. It was presented in a way that had you think, how have I potentially even contributed to the problem without even knowing it, you know? So it highlighted, you know, gender differences and I suppose inequality as well that I knew existed but didn't really know, I suppose, the gravity of what it did and even the subtle things that we do in our society that bring about the gender inequality.
Gold Coast resident Christine Mahoney took part in the course that same year and was able to put what she had learned into practice when a neighbour was attacked in his home.
After I did the course on a Thursday night, later that night, around 12, 1 o'clock in the morning, there was a disturbance with my next-door neighbour. And it just kind of kicked in. Obviously, I had just heard about, you know, the things that you can do that might be helpful. And so I just yelled out, I'm calling the police. And as soon as I said I was calling the police, I heard the people that I now know were trying to sort of attack my neighbour, ran off. And then another neighbour across the road came out when she heard me yell out. And she said to me, oh, thank goodness you called the police, because I was watching and listening, but I didn't know what to do.
To assist bystanders who lack the tools or support they need, the MAPE program has partnered with Telstra Purple to produce a free app called Be There. Ross Smith wanted the Be There app to be a way for users to identify the signs of domestic violence, have all the resources to safely intervene, journal the process of looking out for them, and be a safe space for them to get some care as well.
Say you've got a colleague at work that you're concerned about, you can go and identify what you think they're experiencing, and then you can journal in there. So you could say, I noticed that my friend came in and said that her partner had withheld her wallet from her for a week. And then from there, we will be able to give you practical advice like schedule a time to go and meet with your friend and here's some questions you could ask.
The MAPE Bystander program is being presented in schools, universities, churches and workplaces throughout Australia and New Zealand, as 3-day training sessions, nighttime courses, or 1-hour webinars.
Courage over comfort, right? That's how you change the world. You know, you challenge status quo, you do something that takes courage, and that's what being an effective bystander is all about.
That was Sian Ross-Smith, Director of the MATE program, speaking with Nathan Tyrrell.
This is honestly such an important skill for everyone to have, as preventing domestic violence at the first signs can save lives.
If you or someone you know is being impacted by domestic violence or abuse, you can always call 1-800-RESPECT, open 24 hours.
And the Be There app is free from the App Store or the MATE Bystander website.
Now let's move on to the more cheery stories the Gold Coast has to offer.
Over the past few years, there has been a growing importance in high school STEM education, with the Gold Coast High School paving the way. Merrimack State High School has recently added another title to their successful STEAM Academy. But the school's recent win is just the tip of the iceberg. Felicity Plowman has the story.
Merrimack State High School has been redefining the face of STEM with their STEAM Academy, which adds enterprise and arts to the traditional STEM disciplines. On the 17th of June, 32 members of Merrimack STEAM Academy won the Gold Coast Science and Engineering Challenge hosted by Griffith University. The students competed in groups of four and built a variety of gadgets such as water turbines, Mars rovers and bridges. Head of Merrimack STEAM Academy, Mr. Daniel Ricardo, says the STEAM students are encouraged to work across year levels, which creates a welcome environment that fosters creativity.
The thing that I'm probably most proud of is the culture and the community that we've built in the space. Facilities are amazing, but facilities aren't people. And over the years, the people change, but our culture and our community, just grows from strength to strength. So it's always one to support each other. It's quite amazing now that you walk into this space, what we call our Spark building here. We've got students from grade 7 all the way to year 12 working together and helping each other. So it doesn't matter what grade you're in, you can come in and learn anything and be supported by everyone.
Mr. Ricardo says the STEAM Academy was separated from Merrimack State High School's academic program in 2016 to cater for the students seeking careers in STEM. Current Merrimack STEAM students had their say on what they have gained from the program so far.
I think I've done a lot more team building than I thought I would. I'm getting better at being in a team and learning all the communication skills that come with being in the STEAM program.
I've recently got the opportunity to be on TV, which is pretty crazy. I've been, overseas in America and Japan, and I've been to national competitions and not only been able to compete and do stuff like that, but I've also been a part of a really strong community and have made some of my best friends in STEAM.
I've been participating in the FEX Robotics competition, and so with that, I've been able to go to the Nationals in Australia, and this year I was able to go to the World Competition. Unfortunately, because of COVID, we had to do it online, but, it was still a very exciting competition, and I was really glad to be able to be a part of it.
Member of Merrimack State High School's teaching team, Dr. Peter Darcy, says he wanted to teach STEAM since he brings both theoretical knowledge and industry experience to the classroom.
STEAM, or STEM at the very least, propagates throughout all of society. So obviously it's related to core national curriculum, but having STEM under your belt as well as looking into the STEAM concepts will make you a better graduate.
Dr. Darcy says his favourite part about the STEAM Academy is seeing the students achieve their goals during their time at Merrimack State High School and beyond.
I hope that we continue to make a difference in people's lives and being able to be a place that students can fondly think of when they finish off.
Over the past 6 years, Merrimack STEAM students have completed numerous projects and won national and international robotics titles in various competitions. Teams from Merrimack State High School have also won the Mayor's Technology and Innovation Awards on the Gold Coast multiple times. Mr. Ricardo says the STEAM Academy has many projects currently in the works alongside their competition schedule.
One of the projects that we're involved in as well is with Gilmore Space Tech and Griffith University, and we're actually sending up a cube satellite into space. So we've got years 9, 10 and 11 students that are responsible for the data visualization and flight control of the satellite that's going into space, so a little 10 centimeter by 10 centimeter satellite that can take pictures and track weather data. So it's pretty cool, you know. Imagine being in year 9, 10 or 11 and being responsible or being part of a wider project with some other schools as well to send a satellite into space, which is, you know, Aussie school on the Gold Coast reaching for the stars, which is awesome.
What an amazing opportunity for the STEAM students at Merrimack State High School.
That was Felicity Plowman with the story about Merrimack State High School STEAM Academy. It sounds like an amazing opportunity with loads of programs for the students.
It really is, Tara. When I walked into their Spark building, the first thing I saw wasn't their trophy cabinet, it was their photo wall of past students. It was obvious that they care about the kids more than anything else.
It's cool to hear about their upcoming satellite project. It really shows the commitment they have to the STEAM program.
There are quite a few events happening this weekend, especially the Crafted Beer and Cider Festival, that is returning to the Gold Coast for another year of beers, music and fun. It is always a great event for everyone, whether you just casually enjoy a beer from time to time or a hardcore brews enthusiast. Tara Smith has the story.
Each year, the Crafted Beer and Cider Festival takes over Corowa Park in Broadbeach on the beautiful Gold Coast. Starting this Saturday, the event will run all weekend long rather than just the one day due to selling out both in 2020 and 2021. Co-founder of the festival, Anna Cook, started the festival in 2017 with her brother as they saw a gap in the market for a beer festival on the Gold Coast.
There were a lot of craft beer that was like booming around the country, especially in the Gold Coast. There's some really great brewers that were really popping up around that time, and thought the Gold Coast doesn't have a beer festival. Why don't we start a craft beer festival? We both love music, and so we wanted to have a music element as well.
Crafted features local breweries, distilleries and wineries, mainly from the Gold Coast, but also from surrounding areas. Though being Gold Coast locals, Anna and her brother have a bit of a bias towards local brands, so they try to showcase these in their own special way through the event.
At the festival, we've created this little area called Locals Lane. So right in the middle of the festival, we put all the local breweries in one little space that kind of highlights them and just puts them in a bit of a highlighting position in the festival too.
The event brings all these brands together in one spot so everyone can try a little bit of everything, getting the chance to try different brands and drinks you usually wouldn't get. The event had also created a lot of opportunity for smaller brands that wouldn't have become what they are today without the festival.
Maddock is another one that's on the Gold Coast as well, who when they first started coming onto the festival, they were still in their backyard brewing from their garage. And now they've been open in Ashmore for around about 12 months, I believe it is, that they've had their brewery open for.
Burley Gin Distillery, Grandad Jack's, will be returning to Crafted for their fifth year and are extremely excited to be showcased for the entire weekend. Head distiller and great-grandson of Jack himself, Luke Ridden, says they have drinks specific for the event in addition to their fan favourite tasting platters.
Yeah, so every year at Crafted we try and do something, we try and keep it pretty standard with our gin and tonics, and then we do always something special just for Crafted itself. So we've got a couple of cocktails that'll be special on the day. We've got our classic Seymour Street, which is just always a crowd pleaser. It's my favourite cocktail on our list in the tasting rooms and at events, and then we've got our gin and tonics as well.
The family-run distillery always thrive at this event as they can advertise their Crafted-only cocktails, and every year they're a crowd pleaser. They also have the best view of the event at the top of their truck, where you can sit and look over the entire festival.
So our beer double truck has the best view on the top deck. So you can hop up there, have your cocktail, look over the entire event and just really soak up the atmosphere of the weekend. It's fantastic up there. We'll be serving cocktails all Saturday and Sunday. We're really keen to see everybody.
The event is growing very fast among brewers and Gold Coast locals, with over 70 breweries on the waitlist to get featured in the event. So this weekend, come on down to Corowa Park for two full days of games, sun and beer right on the beachside. You won't regret it. This has been Tyra Smith, signing out.
That was Tyra Smith with the Crafted Beer and Cider Festival.
It's great to see these festivals and events bounce back after the COVID-19 pandemic, especially for the local businesses participating.
And will you be attending this weekend, Tyra?
Yes, I will be. I'm excited to get a taste of Grandad Jack's gin from the top of their truck.
Like Tyra said, the Craft of Beer and Cider Festival is happening this weekend at Kyrell Park in Broadbeach on the Gold Coast.
Now that we're on the topic, this weekend is jam-packed with events in both Brisbane and the Gold Coast, with the Gold Coast show starting tomorrow night, celebrating its 115-year anniversary. The Gold Coast show will run until the 28th of August at Broadwater Parklands in Southport.
I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to hitting up the show, especially with Humphrey B. Bear in attendance this year.
I doubt the kids will even know who he is.
Probably not, but I'm sure they'll enjoy it regardless.
Also on the Gold Coast this weekend is the Moonlight Night Market at Dreamworld. The markets are currently held every Friday and Saturday, with this weekend themed the 80s, 90s and 2000s.
For our Brisbane listeners, tomorrow night is also the start of the Dinosaur Lantern Festival at the Dogs Queensland Showground. The Dinosaur Lantern Festival features artistic installations of dinosaurs and a range of food and amusement rides.
Let's just hope the weather holds out over the weekend for the upcoming festivities.
Not only that, but for all our sport fans out there, kicking off tonight is the seventh season of the AFLW with the much-anticipated Carlton versus Collingwood game.
This is the first year that all 18 teams will compete in the AFLW. Our very own Gold Coast Suns will play their first match on Saturday at Blundstone Arena in Tassie, and the Brisbane Lions will be playing on Sunday at their home ground of the Gabba.
Earlier this week, Tara spoke with new Gold Coast Suns recruit and local Gold Coast girl, Jasmine Smith, about the upcoming season. Getting drafted has been a lifelong dream for Jasmine, and she was absolutely ecstatic when she got the call. Here she is with the interview.
I'm here with Jasmine Smith, who's just been drafted from the Gold Coast Suns. How are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, thank you. How excited are you for the season to start this Saturday?
I am super excited for the season to start this Saturday. It's been a huge build-up to this moment. We've been preparing for this for ages. All the hard work that the girls have put in behind the scenes, as well as the coaches, going through all the vision that we need to do, all the education that we've gone through to just prepare us for the season to start. All the training that we have behind us has been awesome. And, I'm just really interested to see how we go up against all the other teams. I'm backing the Suns this year. I think we've got a good side on us, so I'm really excited to see how we go.
And you mentioned the hard work. How is being a professional AFL player working around school and graduation this year?
Yeah, so I'm still in year 12 this year, and obviously that's a huge part of my life. I've got to finish off strong. And I think that my school has been super supportive. Obviously, it's been a huge workload with the Suns, but the Suns have helped me so much through it. They've offered me extra support, extra help. Obviously, if I needed a night off, I can take it. And the school's been amazing. They've just supported me all the way. And our principal's a big footy head, so he's got him behind me the whole time. Yeah.
Sounds like a great culture down there. And how have the girls welcomed you, like the rest of the team?
Yeah, it is a great culture. Like I said, on draft night, all the girls got around me. I barely knew half of them that night, but they all still welcomed me in as if I've been there for ages. And I remember the first week of being there, I was invited over to multiple people's houses to have dinner and catching up for coffees in the week of being drafted. And instantly they were just trying to like welcome me into the team and get me amongst it, because we all know like the sooner that we bond together, the sooner we're playing good footy together. And I think we've done that. And I'm really excited to see how we go on the weekend, because I think we've just bonded really well as a team. And
That's awesome. And how much training have you guys actually done in the preseason, apart from just the culture side of things?
Yeah, so we've done quite a lot of training. We've done a lot of our conditioning block first, and then we ended up going into some game sim stuff, but it's been pretty full on, especially juggling it with school. But obviously our load is monitored. We don't want to be burning ourselves out, but we've had a pretty big preseason because we want to hit this season really hard and make an impact on the game.
Yeah, awesome. And are you the only one still in school, so you're the only one needing to balance both, or is there other girls who know what you're going through?
It's me in year 12 on the Gold Coast, but then Claire Ransom, who's also the draft pick, I think she was 32 or 30, 34 draft pick, she's still completing school, but she lives in Tassie, so that's even harder for her, having to do school in Tassie and train while for the Gold Coast team. So I don't even know how she's doing it, but she was able to fly down for the first 3 weeks and get amongst us and like get a part of the group. And we've seen her a few times since being able to fly down on the weekends and everything, but she obviously can't miss too much school. So the club's been really supportive of her and helping her through that as well.
Yeah, cool. And especially for girls like Claire, how has the team come together?
Yeah, we're hanging out all the time. It's such a good culture, like I've said. And we've had two practice matches. Our first one was against the Lions and we were out on our home turf. We were on Metricon. And I think that was a really good bonding moment for our team. And we really got around each other. And a few weeks prior to that, we also had our team camp and we did like a raw challenge, like which is like an obstacles course thing. And we were all helping each other through that. And I think that we've had so many opportunities over the preseason, whether that's created by the girls, like we bring something on, or whether the club is putting something on for us, we've taken those opportunities to really bond. And yeah, we've done that pretty well, even with Claire and other players having to travel. And yeah,
it sounds like you've got a great season planned for you guys. And just before you go, how much of a dream come true is this for you?
Oh, honestly, it's insane. I've been dreaming about this since I've started playing footy. And honestly, I've been talking about it for years with Dad, going through all my juniors footy. Like, this is what I was picturing. Like, I would every time I went on the field, even when it was with the Broadie Cats or with Bond Uni, I would be about, this is one step closer to playing for the Suns, because it's always been the Suns that I've wanted to be drafted to. And here I am in round one, and man, I'm so excited.
Awesome. I'm sure your family is so proud of you, but thank you for your time and good luck for this weekend. Thank you so much.
It's great seeing local stars getting recognition for something they've always dreamed of. And that's all we have time for today. Thank you so much for listening to The Source News. I don't know about you, Felicity, but I'm keen to enjoy some beers this weekend at the Crafted Festival. What will you get up to?
And I'm pretty set on the Gold Coast show tomorrow night to kick off the weekend. We hope you guys have a good weekend and explore what's on offer.
Are we recording?
You're listening to
Source News
on 4EB Community Radio, presented by Griffith University students.